can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation, and all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me.
Your grace is enough, Lord, your
your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
One more time.
Your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me.
God, I sing your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love.
Your grace is enough for me.
Man, you can have a seat. Thank you. We are so glad that you joined us at Asbury this morning. We're glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us, we want you to feel welcome, and we want you to not be alarmed when someone nudges you and hands you an attendance pad. That's just our way of knowing that you are here so that we can pray for you, learn a little bit more about you, and so that's what that's for. A couple of announcements. We've got the annual conference coming up. Thank you. June 9th through 12th, it's going to be at the State House Convention Center. That is our annual conference. And only thing I can say about that is just be in prayer. Be in prayer for that, because that's when all of the leaders come together and they decide this is going to be this and that's going to be that. And so really need, well, that's the only way. This is going to be that and that's going to be this. But really, they need our prayer, because these are leaders of this congregation or of this denomination. And so really want God to be present in that meeting, and for every decision and every word that's said and everything that takes place to be totally from God. And so be in prayer and lift up our leaders as they attend that. Also, Vacation Bible School is coming up. You can actually register your child online on our website, and just go to the website there. It'll direct you and how to do that. And so, once again, we're so glad that you're here. I want to invite you to stand and continue to worship with us this morning as we start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, that your grace is enough. That it's not something that we have to do. It's not some magic thing that happens. It's your grace. And we thank you for that, and we say that it is enough. It's all we need. You are all we need. And we are in this place this morning to lift up your name so that you can be glorified. Be in this place, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. Lord, we turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give Lord, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen.
I can have a seat. Thank you. All right. We have any kids in the house? Let me see. Let me see your hands. No. You win. Come on up. I got to say, man, that is an awesome tie. Did your dad put that on you? Did your dad put that on you? That's awesome. It's almost as cool as Reverend Nathan's. It's actually cooler because that's half of a tie, and that's the whole tie. I really think you got ripped off on that. I'm just saying. Missing some fabric. How are y'all doing this morning? All right. Hi. All right. Well, this morning, Reverend Nathan is going to be talking about faith, right? Something like that. So I was thinking, what could I do to make you guys or help you understand about faith? So this is kind of what I came up with, all right? I need a volunteer. Okay, okay. I've got a, it's really not a blindfold, it's a kitchen rag, but it's clean, I promise. And I want you to take this and cover your eyes with it where you can't see, all right? In the back, I've placed a bowl of some of those like fruit lifesavers. So I'm going to give you this, and I want you to cover your face, and without looking, I want you to walk back there and see if you can grab those without bumping into chairs or tripping or anything like that. Can you do that? You can do that? You're not scared at all? Well, that really defeats the purpose of this object. Listen, who would be scared to do that? Yeah, all right. Come here. Come here. So you don't want to cover your eyes and see if you can, you know? All right, here. Here. How about this? Here. I'm going to help you. But cover your eyes, and I'm going to help you, all right? That's not bad, huh? Because I'm right here. Just keep on going straight. Keep on going straight. Oh, there they are. Keep on going straight. You're doing great. Doing great. And stop. And stop. And there you go. All right. Look at that. So you did it. Good job. Now, can you carry it back up there? Everybody give her a hand. Yeah. That is faith. See, she was scared to do it by herself. And we're scared a lot of times to do things by ourselves. Thank you. But we have to have faith. And what that means is knowing and trusting and believing. You knew I was behind you the whole time, didn't you? You didn't even have a doubt, did you? Nope. And that's what faith is knowing that everything we do, even though it may seem scary, even though it may seem impossible, God is with you all the time. And so you don't have to be afraid to try new things or to meet new people or to do something you think maybe you can't do, because God is always with you and you can have faith. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for sending your Son, for the grace that you've given us, and Father, for the fact that we can have faith that you're with us every bit of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you. You're going to eat all those. You want to do me a favor and carry them back? Mm-hmm. To the...
Chef, stop.
All right, everybody follow her.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, we want to draw to your attention all those concerns that are listed in the back of the bulletin. We want to continue to remember those who have been affected by the tornadoes in Oklahoma, the second round of tornadoes. We want to remember all those victims, those who lost loved ones in this terrible tragedy. We also want to remember those who are in Texas, the firefighters who lost their lives over the weekend in the terrible fire. As we go to God in prayer, I invite you to Join with me in a moment of silence, and then we'll have prayer together. Holy and loving God, we have entered this place because of you. For it is by your grace that we have all gathered here. It is because of your grace that we have all come together. For this we give you thanks and we give you praise. We have come to worship you, to sing of our love for you, to tell of our love for you in both word and action. O God, accept our praise. May it bring you honor and may it bring you glory. Let us always be reminded that this is why we have been created, as creatures in your creation. We have been created for worship, to express our love for you, not only here but throughout all the world. That in all that we say and that all that we do and all that we think, may it bring glory and honor to you. So train us during this time, O God. Build us up and teach us that we might be your people in this world, living out our calling to be people of worship and service, to bring honor to your name, so that your light might shine out in the darkness, that your grace might transform your world. We give you thanks that we can be a part of your work, your good and your renewing work. And so on this day, we come before you, kneeling, hoping that you would be at work among us, that your Spirit would move in our hearts and in our lives, that we might see you more clearly and that we might follow you more faithfully. And most of all, O God, we come before you bearing our needs, our hopes and our dreams and our fears, having faith that your grace might sustain us, that it might build us up, that it might repair us and recreate us and renew us. We bring before you, O God, all those who are in need of your healing touch, all those who are in need of your grace and of your mercy. We pray for the people of Oklahoma this day, that you would be with them again, that your Spirit would rest upon them and comfort them in a time of loss and tragedy. Enable us, O God, and empower us to be your people, to reach out in whatever ways that we can to help them. We pray for the people of Houston and for those families of the firefighters who lost loved ones, sacrificing much. May your Spirit rest upon them as well. O Lord, we give you thanks. Thanks for the opportunity that we have to be your people. Indeed, encourage us and indeed empower us by the strength of your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have been blessed in many ways. God's grace has been active in our lives in many, many ways. And we have opportunity to give back to God just a portion of what God has given to us. So as we take up our morning offering, we pray that God would take those gifts that we give and use them for the furthering of God's kingdom.
come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. The sin runs deep, your grace is more. What grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me, Lord. I need you. My song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
We are indeed always in need of God's grace. God's grace indeed sustains us and builds us up. And the more and more as we journey in the Christian life, the more and more we realize that we can't do it on our own, that we need God's grace to sustain us. If you are a guest with us today, we welcome you. We are glad that you're here worshiping with us as we come together to give thanks to God for the grace that we have already received and anticipate the grace which God promises to continue to pour out on us. Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read out of the 15th chapter, read verses 21 through 28. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn along, or the words will appear before you here on the screen. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we are here to worship you. And we are here to be in your presence. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us and teach us. That your word would be implanted in our heart, that it would grow and bear much fruit. That we might be recreated into the people you call us to be. O Lord, allow my words to be your words, and my heart your heart. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Dogtown. Have any one of you ever been to Dogtown? You know, the city just across the Arkansas River. Dogtown. Little did I know when I moved to Arkansas 4 years ago that Little Rock didn't encompass both sides of the river. But rather, there was North Little Rock and Little Rock. Little Rock named North Little Rock Dogtown. You know how it all happened? Well, in 1904, North Little Rock claimed some land that Little Rock felt was rightfully theirs. And so in retaliation for this acclamation of land, Little Rock gathered all the stray dogs it could find and sent them over the river into North Little Rock. Dogtown. Have you ever been to Dogtown? It was interesting while I was researching for the sermon and so forth, I came across a New York Times article about North Little Rock, about Dogtown. I'm sorry if you live in North Little Rock. But came across an article that talked about in the 60s, North Little Rock tried to get rid of the name Dogtown. They even bought a marble gravestone. And inscribed on the front, they put, "Here lies Dogtown," hoping that that would get rid of their reputation. However, the tombstone disappeared, and it gave rise to the myth that Dogtown had been raised from the dead. Dogtown. To be called a dog is certainly not an endearing name. Well, these days, you know, we joke with each other and say, "Hey, what's up, dog?" At least some of us do. It hasn't always been a term of endearment. But rather, to be called a dog is a term of insult. You really want to get someone, you call them a dog. It's been the equivalent of calling someone riffraff, of calling someone scum, calling someone a good for nothing. We could probably fill in the blank of a couple other terms that would fit with calling someone a dog. It's certainly not a term of endearment. Rather, throughout history, dogs have been considered very unclean and scavenger types of animals. Even though we love those cute furry little things that we have at our houses, a lot of times they have not been so well loved. And to be called a dog was to be insulted. So it's certainly confusing and even a bit upsetting when Jesus refers to the woman in our scripture passage as a dog. We certainly don't expect Jesus to act so coldly and so rudely as he does. Here this woman comes asking for assistance, hoping that Jesus might help. And at first, he doesn't even reply. He just remains silent. And then the disciples get annoyed that this woman keeps shouting and yelling at them for them to help her. They say, "Send her away." She's getting a bit annoying. But even then, Jesus says, "Well, I've come only to minister to Israel, to the Jews. Why should I throw away the good food and give it to the dogs?" We certainly don't expect Jesus to act like this. Certainly not the Son of God. Now, we might expect a normal human being who has some poor relations with another individual or another group of people to act like this. We might expect that in the early 1950s, 60s, and 70s, that those from North Little Rock or Little Rock might hate each other and call each other names. But we certainly don't expect it from the mouth of God. Of course, culturally speaking, Jesus reacts to this Canaanite woman as any other Jewish man might react to her, might react to some outsider calling on for help. You see, if you remember, the Canaanites were the group of people that were occupying the promised land when Joshua and the Israelites were entering into the Holy Land. They were considered the grave mortal enemies of Israel that occupied the land that God had promised to Israel. Something about this woman's appearance or her location tipped off the disciples and tipped off Jesus that this was the same person, or this was a person from the same heritage of these Canaanites that were so hated by Israel. They didn't want to have anything to do with her. Any Jew would have reacted the same way that the disciples reacted. After all, this unclean outsider probably spelled trouble to Jesus and his disciples. Jesus and his disciples have already had their fare of trouble. Just prior to Matthew chapter 15, Jesus has been in a debate with the scribes and the Pharisees. If you recall, the scribes and the Pharisees have gotten on to Jesus and his disciples because they did not wash their hands. They are ritually unclean. And the Pharisees and the scribes began complaining to Jesus, "Why in the world do you not follow the rules?" This Canaanite woman could prove to be more trouble. Maybe Jesus has left Nazareth and Galilee and Jerusalem, left the boundaries of Israel to go into Tyre and to Sidon, to escape, to get away for a moment, to relax, to not have to worry about anyone bringing heat down on his ministry. So maybe her appearance could bring further heat down on them. But the odd thing about the story is that this is not the first time that Jesus has encountered an outsider. In Matthew chapter 8, a Roman centurion sends word to Jesus that his servant is sick. A Roman centurion, an outsider, and at that, a foreign occupier of the land of Israel. Jews didn't like the Romans. Most didn't, because they occupied their land. And yet Jesus healed this servant of a Roman centurion, a soldier, a leader in the army. So this story just seems quite odd in the gospel. Jesus reacts in a way we don't expect Jesus to react. It's not the first time he's encountered an outsider, and we know that he is including or beginning to include outsiders in the kingdom of God. So it seems odd that Jesus reacts so coldly toward this Canaanite woman. People have speculated as to why Jesus acted so coldly or appears to act so coldly toward this woman. They have given a variety of reasons as you read different people's interpretations of the story. Some people say, well, Jesus is just reacting or just acting according to the cultural standards of the day. He's just living as a Jew would live. Others have argued that Jesus was simply testing the woman and her faith. Others have argued that Jesus is teaching the disciples a lesson, what it means to accept an outsider. Still others have argued that Matthew includes this story in the gospel because it is to teach the body of Christ how we act often as Jesus' hands and feet so coldly and so rudely to the outsiders that appear in our midst. Each one of these interpretations are plausible and possible. They each give us a good lesson on what it means to be people of faith. And yet I wonder, is the reason that Matthew includes this story in the gospel not a story to focus on what Jesus does, but rather a story to focus on what this woman does? Maybe the story, oddly enough, as oddly it sounds, maybe the story isn't about Jesus, but maybe the story is about this Canaanite woman. You see, when you look at the gospel story, this woman doesn't give up. Every time she is turned away, every time she hears a no, every time that the disciples want to send her away, she keeps pressing forward. She keeps moving on. She keeps going, pushing, striving, moving, hoping that she might encounter the grace of God. This woman is not satisfied with a no. She is undeterred by the silence and undeterred by the turning of the hand. She's undeterred by Jesus' remarks. For she knows that Jesus has what she needs. She understands that only if but a crumb would fall from the master's table, she would be satisfied. If but just a small experience of God's grace would come her way, her life would be fulfilled. She's not satisfied with delay. She's not satisfied with a no. Rather, she presses on. She pushes forward. She is not complacent. If but a crumb would fall from the master's table, then I will be satisfied. A crumb would be enough if it came from God. She knows deep within her soul that grace, that God's grace, is worth pursuing. It is worth fighting for. It is worth sacrificing all your dignity and all that you have and all that you are to go for it. She's not complacent. She's not willing to be comfortable. Her daughter's life is on the line. And she's going to give whatever she has, if but a crumb might fall from the table of Jesus. You know, I have to admit, I'm guilty of something. My wife would tell you that I'm guilty of a lot of things. But I'm guilty of being complacent. Guilty of being complacent in my own Christian walk, my own journey of faith. Too often I get comfortable where I am. I've got it all figured out. Got it all taken care of. Just work my routine. And I become complacent. Sometimes we need to be reminded. And I think this is why Matthew includes this story in the gospel. Sometimes we need to be reminded to not become complacent with our faith. Because even a crumb is worth giving all that you have and all that you are to strive toward it. So often we come complacent in our journey of faith. I love to play golf. It's one of the things I like to sneak away and do on Fridays on my day off when my wife says I can do it. I love to go and play golf. Golf is a terrible sport. It's awful. You get up to the tee box and everybody is watching you hit the ball. Even those people around, you're like thinking, I'm making a fool of myself out here. You hit one in the woods, you hit one in the street, you almost hit a car. I didn't say I played it well. You play 18 holes, embarrassing yourself all along the way. But there's that one instant where you hit a good shot, where the ball sails toward the hole, and you think, oh my goodness, I'm the best golf player in the world. Or you hit a 20-foot putt and it rolls in. And it was worth every moment. Oh, if but a crumb would fall from the master's table, it would be worth it. Somehow, somewhere, this woman heard about God's grace. Maybe somebody whispered in her ear, he feeds 5,000 people. He healed a soldier's servant. He loves those who nobody else loves. And she decided that it was worth pursuing all that she had to go and find him and was not going to be turned away the very first no. It was worth every moment giving up all that she had and all dignity that she had to find herself at the feet of Jesus, hoping that she might taste what grace was all about. She wasn't complacent. It was worth it. This past fall, I received a letter from one of the members of our congregation. And in the letter, it talked about the family-to-family boxes that we collect each November to give for Thanksgiving meals for those who have need and they can't have their own Thanksgiving meal with their family. They can't afford to have a meal for their family. And so we provide these boxes, and of course we fill them with canned hams and cornbread and whatnot, and dried beans or baked beans or whatever we have. It's just a small box. In the letter this individual wrote said that, you know, we bring them to the church and we often have them shipped off. We don't get to see the families, but I just so happened to know that there was a family that I knew that was in need, and I was going to take it, you know, in the guise of the ministry of Asbury United Methodist Church, I was going to deliver it to their doorstep and let them have it. So I went and I delivered this box to this family that I just so happened to know that they were in need. And these folks were so thankful that they were going to have a good Thanksgiving dinner. They were so thankful that they invited their neighbors to come and have dinner with them. This person wrote that it was quite the orchestrated event because the family heated their house with their oven. And yet they wanted to host this party, this Thanksgiving dinner, because they had received grace upon grace, just a tiny morsel, just a box of food. And they wanted to share with somebody else. They wanted to give it away. Oh, if but a crumb might fall from the table. It's worth it. It changes our perspective. It changes who we are. It transforms us and makes us into people we are not on our own. It recreates us. It remakes us. God's crumbs are enough. And yet, you know what, though? God doesn't just give us crumbs. Though the crumbs would be enough, God gives us God's very self, God's very being and life, and says to us, come sit at my table. Come sit here and feast. God's grace is enough. Thanks be to God. So may we never give up. May we always push forward. May we also never be deterred, because God will be faithful. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Today we have opportunity to feast at God's heavenly table. In the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table, meaning if you are from another denomination or you're not, this is not your home church, you are welcome to come and celebrate Holy Communion with us. For this is not our table, this is the Lord's table. And Jesus, as the host, invites you to come. So I invite you to join with me in our great Thanksgiving as we prepare our hearts and our minds for this holy and sacred meal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you. And blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He blessed it and gave thanks to God and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today, our ushers will dismiss you by row that you might partake in this holy meal. Our host, the Lord, is here and present with us, and for this we give God thanks and praise. If you are in need of gluten-free wafers, we have those available. Simply ask one of your servers, and we'll be sure to give you a gluten-free wafer. Let us celebrate this holy meal together.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise, yeah. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Would you stand and join with me in our benediction this morning? Go in the strength of God's Spirit. Go in peace. May you ever strive forward and move forward in the strength of that Spirit. Amen.
And I hear the voice of many angels.